Amen. All right, let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. It's right before Ephesians, right? E follows D. Verse 10. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you. All right. So we're going to do verses 10 through 13. Tori, would you like to read those? So do not be weak in believing or in following Jesus, right? That's the very beginning, is be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Don't weather, you know, at the first sign of danger. You know, Paul is telling us to be strong, you know, to be able to stand up, you know, with, you know, stand up and not see signs of trouble, you know, without changing and without changing, you know, who you believe God is. Not deviating in that, knowing who God is and keeping that. You know, the whole armor of God is a term for Christians. And it's something that protects us. Protects us against evil. You know, all around us is a spiritual battle out there in the real world, right? The battle is not against flesh and blood. You know, our, you might put flesh and blood as others. You know, technically, it's about their desires. About somebody else's belief system or their non-belief system, you know, which all link back to the devil. Why it links back to the devil is because the devil tells anyone and everyone lies. Sometimes they're convincing lies. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but still people believe in it. But the devil will tell people lies. Now, Paul uses a metaphor. He uses a metaphor about and uses a suit of armor to describe things that Christians should carry with them every single day and have with them at all times. So that is the whole armor of God. That's where that term comes from. Well, it comes from this passage, but that's what we mean by the whole armor of God. So, Ephesians 6, verse 14. Katie, can you read that? All right, her translation is a little bit different than mine, but mine says gird. To having gird your waist with truth, right? Anybody else's pastor say gird? Girded. So what is girded? Huh? Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're both right, but you know, back in the day, the typical dress for men was a tunic. So a tunic, you could say looks like a nightshirt or a robe-ish, right? So they weren't wearing skirts, right? They're not Irish or Scottish. They're a tunic, right? So what would they do is if they were going to get in a fight, they'd take, I'm sorry, you can't see. You'd take, and then they'd wrap it up, and it kind of, and then they stuff it into their belts, and it'd kind of free up their legs. Any idea why they'd free up their legs? So they could kick, yeah. So there'd be more mobility, right? Right? So this would allow them to kick if they wanted. Kick, scratch, bite, I don't know. but so it'd keep it away from their legs, and they'd be more mobile so that they could run to somebody's aid faster, or if there was danger, they could run away. Right? So they'd tuck it into their belt. Now the belt encircles us, right? Most belts do, right? They go around your waist. So in a sense, they surround us. Right? You see that? Right. So they surround us. And that is what we need to do, is surround ourselves with the truth. You know, so you're preparing, you know what the truth is, you're preparing to fight, so you need to be mobile, right? But you need to surround yourself with the truth. You know, in everything we do, we need to have that truth. So to combat the father of lies, we need to hold on to what? I just said it multiple times. Truth, right? Truth at all times. We need to hold on to that. We're going to put our finger in Ephesians, but we're going to turn to John. So we're going to go to the left. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse, nowhere close. 44. John 8. 44. John 8:44. Edon. Can you read that? So notice there it says, does not stand in the truth. You know, cannot stand up. Therefore, we need to put on that belt of truth, not just for our protection, but it is, you know, it does protect us, but it also benefits whom we witness to, right? Because our good showing, our good example shows others who we're witnessing to, right? And now truth is also about integrity. Can you see that? That it's about integrity. When you listen to the truth, your integrity is there. Now back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, we just read that. But what's that second element Paul tells the Christians that they need? Right. Right. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. It must be contagious. The breastplate protects what area? The chest, right? Which would include the heart. You were both right. Or multiple people were right. It protects the heart. So again, keeping your finger in Ephesians or a little bookmark. I don't know if your Bible has a little bookmark. Keep it in Ephesians. We're going to turn to Proverbs. Again, to the left. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Julia, can you read that? Four through 23. Diligence. So what does that mean? Huh? You don't know? So protect it with all diligence. What do you think that means? Protect it with all diligence. Keep it guarded, right? So all diligence means is that that's very important. Very important. Make sure you protect your heart because of what comes out of your heart. Don't say blood. Love. But your life springs forth the issues of life. Meaning that your desires, we all know medically, I mean, your desires up in brain, but it's what your heart's desires, we've all heard of that, is your heart's desires, what you put in your heart, you know, springs out of your heart. So we need to make sure to protect our heart, protecting the heart by covering it with all goodness, with all righteousness. Let's turn to Psalms. Psalms, yeah. Psalms 106. Huh? 106, verse 3. Chapter 106, verse 3. In Psalm. I don't know why I call Psalm. Ryan? Yep.
Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times.
Sorry. I should have covered that instead of my mouth. If we allow wickedness into our heart, what do you think is going to flow out of our hearts? Wickedness, right? Negativity. You're exactly right. You know, what you put into your heart is going to flow out of it. So if we surround our heart with what we should be surrounding it with, which is righteousness and goodness, right? What do you think is going to flow out of our heart? Positivity. Our righteousness, right? So what would you rather have? I'm glad you said so. So last night, it was literally last night, long story short, oh no, it's still a long story. So I was driving home, and I was in the back of my truck. There was a lot of used toys. Long story, I won't tell you how to get there. But I was coming home, and I'm probably about 5 minutes ahead of Michelle. So I'm coming home, and I hear something. It's like, I don't know. So I drive home, and I park. I look around back, and there's part of the bag, and there's some things hanging off the side of the truck. So I was like, oh, great. I probably lost something. So I waited for Michelle to get home, and I said, well, did you see anything? Because I think I might have lost. And she said, well, I saw a couple little piles, and I didn't think about it, but there was a couple of piles on the road in different locations along the whole drive. And then I was like, well, oh, man, what should I do? And it was getting late. It was like 8:30, so it was getting dark, and it was getting a little cold. And I was trying to make excuses. But the truth is, accident or not, I littered, right? That's the truth. So from that point, I needed to make that decision, what to do about it. You know, I was making excuses. Oh, I haven't really even started my lesson. I need to get that done. So I'm trying to make up all these excuses. And then I'm reading this about truth and righteousness, and it's like, okay, fine. And you get that voice in the back of your head, and it's like, what are you doing? You know, why are you making excuses? I almost even sent Michelle out because I didn't want to do it. But I went back. I ended up getting some extra stuff. I don't even know. Somebody else lost some stuff. I picked it up. I don't know. We probably have bed bugs now. But not, and I'm saying that not to like elevate myself. Oh, look at me. I went back and I did the right thing. But I was trying to make excuses. So it's actually embarrassing for me because originally I didn't want to do it. I was trying to think of everything not to do it. But when you know the truth, you know, that's great. Knowing the truth is really good. But once you know the truth, you have to decide what you're going to do about it. You know, and that's why I think truth and righteousness, they kind of go hand in hand. Because once you know the truth, you have to decide whether you're going to do the right thing or you're going to ignore it. So it's about choosing what to do, you know, choosing the right things to do once you know the truth, once you follow the truth. All right, so let's go back to Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 15. Brendan, can you read that? Shod. Shod. Sounds like horses to me, right? They shod him, right? So what are they talking about? If you shod your feet, you get them ready, but what are you doing with your feet? You're probably putting your shoes on, right? It's putting your shoes on. It's covering. It's protecting your feet. It's covering. You know, so in the middle of a dark room, late at night, there you are walking half asleep. And then without warning, you step on a Lego. Right? So with, you know, if you have shoes on or a slipper on, or if you have bare feet, will change that end of that story, correct? You know, Legos hurt. Ones don't hurt like the Dickens, and then the other one's no big deal, right? Now, Satan, he puts out all kinds of traps and snares in our path, right in front of us. So if we have a strong foundation in the gospel, if we protect how we walk, you know, it's not going to be any big deal. There's not, those traps are going to be ineffective for us. So if we have that good, strong foundation, we don't have to worry. We're going to turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Wait. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. There I am. All right, Nick. Chapter 7, 24 through 27. So what is he talking about? What is Jesus talking about? Why, what were the differences between these two houses? Having a good foundation, right? Having something to stand on. What's not going to fall away. Something what's not going to rot away or erode away. So, a firm stance or footing with the gospel. You know, it's the other thing about it is you have an easier time sharing with others if you have that good foundation. So there's a plus. It's a bonus, right? And then I know, I'm assuming I heard this. I've never been in karate, but somebody could attest to this maybe, is that a good stance would be really good in a fighting stance, right? It's very important, isn't it? Or no? Yeah, I saw the punch. That was... So it's very important. It makes a difference, right? Either you could get 800 in a punch, 820, 840, or you could get 10. I'm just saying. Actually, was anybody here besides Ryan bowling? Oh, Michelle. Sorry. You missed it. It was fun. All right, so we're back in Ephesians chapter, right, verse 16. I think we're back to Tyler. All right, it's pretty simple, you know, the shield of faith. Above all else. So this one's very, very important, right? This one, because it covers the body. You can move it around and you protect yourself of incoming danger. Now, faith is the best defense against spiritual. Faith is the best defense against spiritual, you know, attackers or the fight. Now, why they went into the fiery darts is because back then they would take their shields and they'd douse them in water. So if flaming arrows hit it, it'd just quench it. So Paul's using this analogy, but it's really about faith. You know, if you keep your faith, if your faith is strong, it is going to be the best defense in a spiritual fight. Let's turn to Hebrews. So this one's to the right. Hebrews chapter 11, So I really like the very first one. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's not just by sight, but it's that faith, right? We all know, we've all heard of faith. And I hope we all have faith, right? So it's faith, you know, that faith that Jesus is God. Let's go ahead and read verse 6 also. In Hebrews 11. Katie, can you read that? So we need to, he wants us to believe in him. He needs us to believe in him. Or we need, he doesn't need, but we need to believe in him. We need to put our whole trust in him. That's what faith is. Don't let our faith wander. You know, keep doubt out. Don't let doubt creep in. You know, keep our faith strong. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Edan, can you read that? So the helmet of salvation. So what part of the body does the helmet protect? Your noggin, right? Noggin, noggin. So it protects your head. Which inside your head is your brain, right? Exactly. So it protects your thoughts. You know, it guards what you allow in, and it keeps things in the forefront of our brain, right? We don't get distracted with odd things. So with the helmet being protected, or with the head being protected, we could keep God in the forefront of our brains, thinking of him often, are going to him first, you know, protecting those thoughts. You know, staying focused on what needs to be done. And then the next item that a Christian should always have is in that verse 17 also, which is the sword of the Spirit, which it even tells us there, it's God's word, right? It's God's word. Let's read Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Julia? So if the reckless, they use the, you know, the words, it cuts like a knife, right? Or it cuts like a sword. But the wise bring healing. So they could lift you up, right? The wise words. You know, the sword is typically, you think of it as an offensive weapon, right? But God's words should never be used to cut somebody down. You know, the sword, if you think about it, is also a defensive weapon, protecting us against attack. In 1 Peter, so this time to the right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Ryan, can you read that? Once you get that. Oh, crud. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It's close to the back, but let's read 2 Timothy first. I'm sorry. My bad. 2 Timothy. I knew it. 2 Timothy, or God knew it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. Yeah. But shun profane and idle babblers, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So if we use the sword unwisely, you know, and the sword is being our tongues, our words. You know, if we use them unwisely, are unlifting, unmotivating, you know, it becomes ungodly, right? We should use God's words, not changing God's word, not trying to think that we're better than other people because it's God's word, because God loves everybody and we should love everybody. We should want to uplift them and save them. So we can't, we shouldn't be using profane or idle babble. Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Brandon. Yeah, verse 15. So being prepared means knowing the word. Also, having that sword, you need to be prepared, and you have to know the word, because if somebody's asking you guys, you know, so why are you a Christian? You know, have you ever thought about that and thought about what you're going to tell somebody if anybody ever asks you why you're a Christian? Yes, no, maybe so. No. So are you prepared to do that? Why is your hope in Christ? So we need to be prepared for that. Because someday it might happen. Most likely it will happen. Somewhere down the line, somebody's going to ask you why you're a Christian. But we should all be prepared. And that is the whole armor of God. So there's, how many elements are there? There's, what's the first one? But what, we'll just go by what it is, the truth. Then what's the next one?
Righteousness.
Third one? The what? The shoes? The gospel of peace. So the gospel. So it's truth, righteousness, gospel. The helmet of salvation. Faith. Faith. Helmet of salvation. And then the last one. And the word of God. Right. So six. Right. There's six elements Paul says that every Christian should carry around with them. And then he goes ahead and includes. Now, that's what we should carry around, but something we should always do, he includes this in verse 18, is prayer. We should always be in prayer. So let's read verse 18 in Ephesians 6, not in 1 Peter. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Nicholas. Yes.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with being watchful,
no. Prayer. Prayer. It's our relationship with Jesus. You know, it's our compassionate thoughts for others. You know, without the renewing and keeping that alive, you know, our armor will wither. You know, be worn down. You know, so we need to keep that alive. Psalms 119. 119, 145, verses 145 through 152. Tyler, do you want to read that? Psalms 119, verse 145 through 152.
Save me and I'll keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for hope. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your love and kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They do not inherit who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. They are in your O Lord. They all are your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever.
Our prayers are also a form of a battle cry. So what does a battle cry do? Yes. It does raise your spirit, right? And it also does some other, it does one other thing I could think of. Anybody else? Carries your spirit. What about people around you? Does it raise their spirit? It encourages, right? It's kind of a rally point. I mean, sorry. You could think of it. I mean, people have called it a rally cry or a war cry. They do it during sporting events. But it's more of a rally cry when that. So it's a rallying point. It's getting people motivated, right? Getting uplifting your spirits, uplifting the spirits of people around you. It's a rallying point for your brothers and sisters to come into aid or come to the fight. It's a rallying point for Jesus to come to our aid. You know, prayer is very uplifting. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 13. Tori, can you read it?
The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shall allow. He shall prevail against his enemies.
So who wants a champion like that? Right? I want a champion to fight on my side, to be on my side. Right? Right?